This is Brian Oakes, and I'm a sales agronomist for CHS Ag Services in Erskine, Minnesota. We are pleased to bring you this update from the Red River Farm Network, CHS Ag Services, providing solutions for your success.
Thursday Farm News on the Red River Farm Network. I'm Randy Conan. We'll also hear reports from Melissa Hammer and Tyler Donaldson as well. Rain continues to move northward across northeastern North Dakota and northwestern Minnesota at this hour. It's part of a much larger system that's stretched all the way from the Hudson Bay to Oklahoma. Rain falling across eastern Minnesota, Iowa, Missouri, Kansas at this hour. It's also an area of rain in southwestern and south-central South Dakota. 6 a.m. rainfall totals from the Endon stations, the 24-hour totals. Ada, 1.62 inches. Botno, 96 hundredths. Castleton, 2.26 inches. Fargo, 1 67 hundredths. Grand Forks, 3.41 inches. Lisbon, 2.91. Euland, 2.14 inches. And Warren, 2.61 inches. USDA meteorologist Brad Rippey expects heat and dryness to continue across the southern plains, while much of the Midwest will end the month of August on a cooler note.
This covers the time period August 20th through the 26th. Not much change expected from what we're seeing right now. That is, we expect to see very hot conditions persisting in the deep south, all the way from the desert southwest to the southern Atlantic coast. But as we move to the north, August will be winding down, it looks like, on a relatively cool note for much of the Midwest. That is especially true from the upper Mississippi Valley into the Ohio Valley, where we expect below normal temperatures.
And Rippey expects a drier end to the month.
Now, in terms of rainfall patterns, looks relatively dry for much of the country, near or below normal precipitation expected across most areas. That is especially true from the Midwest southward into Texas and the western and central Gulf Coast states, as well as the lower Mississippi Valley.
According to Nutrien Ag Solutions Senior Science Fellow Eric Snodgrass, the abundant spring rains that hit the northern plains seem to have had a pretty negative impact on yield projections.
There are big sections in the Midwest that did not have too much rain early, that did not have any heat stress during the core time of the season around pollination, and have had very timely rains. And as a result, there's a fairly sizable garden spot through parts of the I states that is, I think, carrying the yield burden for the country, keeping it so high. And that was the issue with this year, is that all of that really wet weather in the northwestern Corn Belt to start did not produce the same kind of drops in yield that we were expecting to see, at least showing up on some of the national numbers and certainly some of the farm tours that are going on right now.
And Snodgrass expects weather to be as impactful on the South American crop later this year.
I think this year for South America, October rains are going to be critical. They make a lot of planting progress in October for the first crop of beans. It'll be interesting to see how big of a crop they put in this year, given just all of the things going on in the markets right now. You know, is it the time to go after more acres or not? And we'll just have to sit and wait to see if the weather patterns shape up in a way to put a dent in that South American crop. But if they do have a La Nina, maybe there's risk farther to the south with dryness, but it's got to be a pretty strong and robust signal, and it's not quite there yet in the forecast models. But I think a lot of us will just want to know, you know, if they produce a very large crop without any weather stresses, what that could do overall to the markets, which is a bit of a bleak outlook, but it's reality. We have to be paying close attention to it.
Portland, North Dakota farmer Greg Tickerson said the rain is welcome for later crops, but not for the wheat harvest.
Well, I think the fall crops could use a shot of rain, but the small grain harvest, we want to keep combining. So it's kind of six in one hand, half a dozen in the other. We're hanging on there just barely on the fall crops. It looks like the edibles could use a drink to finish out probably. And then the soybeans and corn obviously have a ways to go.
And Tickerson said heat is needed in September to finish the fall crops.
We'll need all of September to get this crop matured, the fall crop, the corn and the soybeans, it looks like. We need some heat in September. Other than that, I think from what I've heard, everyone has a nice wheat yield. It's just the quality is the main thing right now is what everyone's fighting. I know a lot of wheat is going to the bins. You drive around and there's augers set up at every farmstead, including ours.
Titan Machinery announcing preliminary results for fiscal second quarter finances. Revenue expected to be $634 million after lower than expected equipment sales due to softer retail demand. Titan is expecting ag revenue to be down 5 to 10% for fiscal year 2025. This is the Red River Farm Network. Thursday Farm News on the Red River Farm Network. The North Dakota Ag Weather Network, NDON, has been a trusted tool for decades. Minnesota is hoping to build a similar network across the state. Red River Farm Network farm broadcaster Melissa Hammer has more.
The Minnesota Department of Agriculture received $3 million from the Clean Water Fund in 2023 to expand the weather station network to agricultural areas statewide. Minnesota Corn Grower Board Member John Swanson is excited to see the first weather station from these funds be put up.
The first station came on board about a week and a half ago. Its location would be Fertile, Minnesota. It's on the Pembina Trail, and that would be the first on-farm with the new clean water funds that were gathered due to the help with Commissioner Peterson for the Ag Weather Network in Minnesota. We hope to have a station of approximately every 20 miles in the agriculture growing areas. That would give us some really good insight into what actually weather there is across the state. It would also give the people in town a good indication of how much moisture might be coming down the rivers.
This program in Minnesota will be similar to the current North Dakota Ag Weather Network, which has proven to be beneficial for getting more accurate weather measurements across the state.
It also gives a good indication, as we hear from many of our local weather stations now. They report on the NDON stations as how much moisture there was there in a particular location or what the temperature is. And I think that's going to be a real good asset for our farmers and for other people in our region. All of the commodity groups were really helpful in getting this going. We had letters from every single ag commodity group in Minnesota with crops, and we want to thank them for all of their help and assistance in getting this off and running, and I think it will be a good deal for farmers and for the state of Minnesota.
Reporting Agriculture's Business, I'm Melissa Hammer for the Red River Farm Network.
Grain markets continue to firm early this morning. Van On and Company market analyst Christy Van On would like to see better demand to sustain these rallies.
I also think that there's way too much crop yet to be sold for old crop corn and even maybe some soybeans, to be honest. And so I think that's going against corn right now. But overall, it's nice to see these markets rebound. What we do need to see, especially for soybeans, is to see demand start to show up. We need to see large private sales in soybeans. That's probably going to have to be China, to be honest. They have kind of dabbled into the beans to a degree, but we have not seen anything large, and that's what we need at this point.
AgMarket.net analyst Jacob Burks thinks commercial selling is also keeping a lid on these commodity prices.
It's been no hidden secret or anything that the pressure, the next leg down in this market is probably not going to be from funds making more sales as much as it's going to be from these commercials finally having to sell some corn, finally getting some of that farmer hedge movement.
Arthur Company's Vice President of Operations, Kevin Carl, says there were a few diseases that kept wheat from being a better crop.
I think Vomitox and the scab situation was probably the biggest concern coming in. The biggest problem is probably lower prices, unfortunately, and we're hoping we can find some demand and some things maybe change that around. But from an agronomic standpoint, I think the crop looks great.
Starting in January, Kloss will no longer be sold through Butler Machinery Company. Kloss will be opening its own stores throughout the state and taking over parts of various services by 2026. Kloss and Butler will be hosting a virtual town hall for all Kloss equipment owners in the area to answer questions regarding that transition. Go to the Red River Farm Network's website, rrfn.com. You can sign up for the weekly FarmNet News e-newsletter. That will hit your email every Monday morning. can also download this broadcast. Also, follow us on Facebook and X, and it's all available at rrfn.com. You're listening to the Red River Farm Network. Good morning. Welcome to Inside Agriculture on the Red River Farm Network. South Dakota State University Extension feedlot management specialist Warren Ruschi says with weaning season coming up, feed supplies are in good stock.
Generally speaking, feed supplies look to be really good. I know there's a few places in western South Dakota where hay supplies might be a little shorter, but for the most part, most of South Dakota is blessed with abundant, even surplus moisture, and that's reflecting in increased amount of hay supplies. The corn crop is going to need a little bit of heat to make sure we get it across the finish line, but in terms of potential silage crop size, it's going to be plenty of feed sources available for cattle. So from that standpoint, we're in great shape.
And though weaning is still about a month away, preparations are underway.
Pre-game season in terms of thinking about weaning, a lot of people are starting to do some of the preconditioning vaccinations, starting to get prepped up so that I expect weaning will start in earnest into September and certainly in October and then November, where a lot of calves are going to be weaned and either marketed or sent into growing and finishing pens.
Minnesota Corn Growers Association past president Richard Severson says renewable fuels have a lot of potential for farmers.
Renewable fuels is a real big conversation. Renewable fuels cuts across both corn and soybeans. The potential for a renewable fuel, sustainable aviation fuel product coming from our agricultural surplus is a real big deal.
And Severson says focusing on farmers is the number one priority for the Minnesota corn growers.
One thing we tried to visit with all of the legislators, state and federal, was that we need to do this right. We need to make sure that the dollars that the government entities are putting into sustainable aviation fuel somehow find their way back into farmers' income statements. And so there's a tremendous potential, we need to keep it moving forward and developing. I think we've got a great chance to utilize the great productivity of agriculture in this state to decarbonize transportation, whether it be in a truck or a car or in an airplane flying overhead.
Checking markets before we leave you this morning, we are 6 to 7 cents higher on the wheat. Corn right now a fraction higher, and the soybeans trading 3 to 6 cents higher. On the farm calendar, North Dakota Senator John Hoeven hosting an Ag Appropriations Committee field hearing at Grand Farm. That gets underway at 10 a.m. this morning with Ranking Member John Bozeman out of Arkansas, Minnesota Senators Amy Klobuchar and Tina Smith, as well as U.S. Department of Agriculture's Deputy Secretary Socil Torres-Small, all at Grand Farm today. Again, that gets underway at 10 a.m. this morning. Well, thanks for joining us. Have a great Thursday. This is the Red River Farm Network.